This morning on WCHL, a property tax rate increase is coming to Chapel Hill. After all, in order to give Chapel Hillians what they want and need.
For them to be deferred many years into the future, I think, makes them more of a dream than a reality.
Council members aren't happy this morning with Orange County officials.
This is totally unacceptable to me, the process and the outcome. I think the outcome isn't any surprise because of the process that they're using.
And the Morinaga Candy Company is ready to break ground in less than an hour and a half on its new facility in Orange County. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, a look back at the very successful UNC women's tennis season. And
think me nuts, but I like the Spurs, and pretty quickly.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 74 degrees in Chapel Hill, 73 in Carborough. Partly sunny today with a 50-50 chance for showers, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high today, about 88 degrees. Chapel Hill Town Council members say a 1 cent property tax rate hike is needed next year to help the town add to its debt capacity and build big projects sooner. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Chapel Hill faces more than $158 million worth of unfunded capital needs, yet the town can't borrow money until 2017. With that in mind, town council members last night informally agreed it's time to replenish the town's debt management fund by raising the property tax rate 1 cent next year. Councilmember Matchikovsky said it will help pay for amenities like parks, greenways, and bike paths that town residents want sooner rather than later.
Those elements, to me, are very significant quality of life considerations, what make people feel good about where they live. For them to be deferred many years into the future, I think, makes them more of a dream than a reality.
A penny on the tax rate generates about $755,000 in revenue for the town. Business Management Director Ken Penoyer told the council each penny's worth put into the debt fund translates into approximately $10 million in additional debt capacity. Other big-ticket items on the capital projects list include a new police station, new fire stations, a waste transfer station, and park improvements. The council also wrestled with the question of how to raise money to support affordable housing. Ultimately, council members settled on a plan that falls just short of the $755,000 funding goal, but doesn't add to the tax rate. The council agreed to delay a solid waste transportation pilot project and spend $355,000 worth of development fees from the Ephesus Fordham area, in addition to the $188,000 already in next year's budget. This will be the second property tax rate increase in 2 years for Chapel Hill residents. Last year, the council approved a 2 cent increase that was split between Chapel Hill Transit, solid waste fees, and the newly expanded library. The council will formally vote to adopt the budget on Monday. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Also at last night's work session, town council members sounded off about Tuesday's vote by the Orange County Commissioners to fund rural curbside recycling out of reserve funds, while asking the towns to levy a $59 per household fee for the same service. Mayor Mark Kleinsmith said the move jeopardizes future collaboration with the county on solid waste and recycling.
You know, we made a decision 2 or 3 months ago that we were all in it together. Well, I think we did that with the hope that by this point, we were actually going to be in lockstep, that we were going to have a plan, countywide plan, that's going to move forward. But we don't.
Council members argued the majority of the money in the Solid Waste Reserve Fund was actually contributed by the towns, which would make it particularly unfair to subsidize recycling pickup for county residents while charging urban households. They say they won't agree to levy the town recycling fee in light of Tuesday night's vote. Instead, the council is asking the commissioners to consider funding both rural and urban recycling pickup for next year out of the Solid Waste Reserve Fund. While this would drop the county's $3 million contingency fund down to $1 million, Town Manager Roger Stansel told the town council that's not their problem.
At this point, it's totally the county's issue, so they would have to find a way to pay for that liability.
Chapel Hill officials last year investigated the cost of hiring private contractors to handle trash and recycling pickup, but council members agreed to try and maintain a 15-year partnership with Orange County in hopes of furthering the community's solid waste reduction goals. Town and county officials were drafting an interlocal agreement to spell out how that might work, but Stansel told the council that process ground to a halt recently as county leaders threw their support behind a task force instead. Commissioners voted to create that task force on Tuesday night, stipulating that a commissioner would act as chair and inviting Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, and UNC to participate, along with five residents. Councilmember Jim Ward called the whole process flawed.
This committee that I'm just hearing about, we had no input in that. This is totally unacceptable to me, that the process and the outcome. I think the outcome isn't any surprise because of the process that they're using.
In a rare move, the Orange County Commissioners will reopen the issue at tonight's work session and likely vote on a new funding plan. County commissioners will take up budget discussions for the first time since hearing from the public last week. Hundreds of parents, teachers, and students came out last Thursday to ask the board to fully fund the budget request of both our school systems. The current budget includes an additional $2.9 million split between the Orange County and Chapel Hill Carrboro City school systems, but that falls far short of $6.8 to $7.3 million school administrators say is needed to balance their budgets. The work session will get underway at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. So, the county commissioners' budget discussion taking place tonight. Also, big discussion taking place tonight with the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board. A long-term study of the Mandarin Chinese dual language program in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City school system is once again expected to pack tonight's school board meeting with families invested in that program. Before the conversation can even start, the board will discuss scheduled repairs for the district's 10 oldest schools, budget amendments, and an update in the Culbreth Middle School science wing, among other topics. Anytime potential changes to the Mandarin Chinese program have been brought up in the district, supporters have filled the board meeting and expressed their strong opinions to keep the program going. The board will discuss whether a long-term study is necessary to determine if this dual language program is benefiting the district and its students properly. The Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education meeting starts at 7 o'clock tonight at Chapel Hill High School after a closed session to discuss student transfer requests. The Mandarin Chinese program discussion is scheduled to begin at about 8:45. That is an approximate time. Another note, WCHL will be there tonight to present a special award that we present every year to a teacher who makes the best use of volunteers in the classroom. We do that every year at the beginning of this school board meeting, and tonight we'll do that as well. There are some outstanding educators in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City school system, and this is just one way of recognizing them. Legislation that would move North Carolina's public schools away from Common Core academic standards is moving through both chambers of the North Carolina General Assembly. The House voted yesterday in favor of a proposal to dismantle the standards for math and language arts and direct the State Board of Education to assemble new rules with help from a new commission that they're going to set up. A somewhat similar Senate bill with the same result cleared the chamber's education committee earlier yesterday. Common Core has been used for the past couple of years and will continue to be used until replaced. Common Core opponents say the rules have led to confusion among teachers and students. Lawmakers opposed to the bill say they're worried it could ultimately lead to lower standards. State School Superintendent June Atkinson, her local counterparts, and school administrators are calling on House lawmakers in Raleigh to reject proposed Senate budget cuts to the Department of Public Instruction. Atkinson and administrators from rural and urban districts all around North Carolina criticized the Senate proposal to cut 30% of the Department of Public Instruction staff, saying that would undermine the support the department is able to give to teachers. Atkinson said if the cuts are approved, it would result in a loss of 100 to 150 people's jobs, staff members with the Department of Public Instruction. Administrators said DPI helps them to run their districts and function effectively with research questions, curriculum development, and technology support. Atkinson said DPI's work is designed to help and support teachers to teach more effectively. And she said they can't fill every role in the school and still focus on teaching students. And more school news this morning. Legislation making clear how North Carolina public school students and teachers may participate in religious activities or expression has passed the North Carolina State House by a wide margin following lengthy debate over faith and constitutional rights. The House voted by a 106-9 margin last night in favor of the measure, which is just one Senate vote away from heading to the governor's desk. The measure seeks to lay out how schools should comply with federal law and guidance on constitutionally protected prayer. It says students may share religious viewpoints and even distribute religious literature in schools with reasonable restrictions. We don't know what those restrictions might be. It also allows school personnel involved in extracurricular activities, such as coaches, to take a respectful posture during voluntary student prayer. Some legislators say they support the posture language, even though it's been struck down by courts elsewhere. Well, there is good news this morning for Orange County. Governor Pat McCrory, Orange County Commissioners, and the City of Mebane break ground this morning on a 120,000-square-foot Morinaga America Foods facility in Mebane. Morinaga owns candy and confectionery production facilities throughout Japan, China, and Taiwan, with sales offices all over the world. It's considered Asia's answer to Hershey's, Mars, or Nestle. It's that big. This establishment represents Morinaga's first production facility outside of Asia. The ceremony is set to start at 9:30 a.m. at the site on Wilson Road in Mebane. Speakers this morning attending the event include Governor Pat McCrory, Chairman Gota Morinaga, President of Morinaga America Foods, Inc., Toshiaki Fukunaga, Board of County Commissioners Chair Barry Jacobs, City of Mebane Mayor Glendale Stevenson, and Consul General of Japan in Atlanta, Kazuo Sunaga. Orange County Director of Public Affairs Carla Banks elaborates on why Mebane was chosen as the location for Morinaga.
When they decided they were going to embark on setting up a facility in the United States, they did visit other communities. They ultimately ended up selecting Orange County because of the quality of life.
Banks also speaks on the overall impact that the Morinaga facility will have for Mebane and Orange County as a whole, in addition to the tax dollars it will bring into Orange County coffers.
From an employment standpoint, the startup of their American facility in Mebane will bring 90 jobs over the next years. I think the framework of Mebane is going to start changing as we're bringing in infrastructure for water and sewer and pretty much paving the foundation for future economic development projects.
The UNC Center for Civil Rights is scheduled to hold a free legal clinic in Charlotte today to help victims of North Carolina's forced sterilization program file claims. The clinic is set for today at Little Rock AME Zion Church in Charlotte. The center held clinics last month in Greenville and Raleigh and will hold a fourth one on June 12th in Ahoskie. That is next Thursday, 1 week from today. The deadline to file claims is June 30th. Last year, the legislature set aside $10 million for one-time payments to North Carolina sterilization victims. The final amount paid to each individual depends on how many come forward. North Carolina sterilized about 7,600 people it deemed feeble-minded or otherwise undesirable between 1929 and 1974. Hard to believe it was that recent. Most were either forced or coerced into having the procedure. Some victims were as young as 10. WCHL News Time, 8:17. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. Well, the usual congestion building up on I-40 this morning. Some of the usual things out near the park. Davis Drive, particularly congested, and also out near South Point, a lot of congestion there. We had a car fire earlier this morning, but that has all been cleared up now, and there aren't any things taking place that are out of the ordinary. If you spot anything that we're not reporting, you can call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL to let us know and become a WCHL Road Warrior. Traffic brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. And the beautiful garden patio is now open for outdoor dining. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too, at Glass Half Full. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. It is 74 degrees, partly sunny today with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today, about 88 degrees. Muggy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunder showers. Low tonight, around 65. And then tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the low 80s. Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine right there on the edge of the beautiful UNC campus.
Ron Stuntz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from Rand Northam and the entire WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, The Clean Joke with Lauren Stafford, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, Ron Stutz.
WCHL news time is 8:19. News around town this morning. The Alliance for Historic Hillsborough is asking for your help this month as they seek to clean up one of North Carolina's most historic burial grounds. Established in 1757, the Old Town Cemetery in Hillsborough contains 186 marked graves, including William Hooper, one of the three North Carolina residents who signed the Declaration of Independence. But parts of the cemetery have gotten overgrown with ivy, and some of the graves have been overtaken by weeds over the years. The Alliance is holding a couple of cleanup events this month. This coming Saturday is one, and again, they will do it 2 weeks later on June 21st from 9 until noon. Wear long pants, long sleeves, and close-toed shoes, and bring gloves, shears, rakes, and brushes. The cemetery is located at the intersection of Churton and Tryon Streets in Hillsborough. I bet Tom Stevens will be there with his hat on and gloves on, working right in the middle of all those folks. UNC and two other universities have received a joint grant of $7.75 million from the Howard Hughes Medical Institute to promote diversity in the STEM fields, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. The grant is to enhance existing programs that increase the number of college students in STEM fields, particularly underrepresented low-income and first-generation students. The University of North Carolina will use the grant to expand its Chancellor's Science Scholars Program. Launched last year, the program provides scholarships, mentoring, and other support to students in STEM fields. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt announced earlier this year that she would double the size of the program from 20 students to 40. The other two universities sharing the grant are Penn State University and UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Carolina's program, as well as Penn State's program, both modeled after a similar program at UMBC. For all of our news around town stories, you can go to our website, chapelboro.com, and click on the News Around Town link. WCHL Championship Sports. The record-setting 2013-2014 season for the national runner-up Carolina women's tennis team has come to a close now, but with a youthful team and an infusion of fresh incoming talent, the Tar Heels have a very bright future indeed. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
Head coach Brian Kalbas cannot say enough positive things about the milestones recorded by his Tar Heels this season. And who can blame him? Carolina completed the NCAA tournament run of its life.
We had never beaten Stanford in our program's history, and they're defending champions. To beat Stanford the way we did it was really monumental for our program. And getting to the finals was the first for us. And in the finals, we played a really talented UCLA team who was number one pretty much all year. And when you look back on it, it was truly a special run to the finals for our team and our program.
But Coach Kalbas knew he had the makings of a special team way back last fall. He says it just took the team a while to mesh and find its identity.
I knew we had, especially at the beginning of the year, we had the ingredients of a special team, and you just didn't know when it was going to come together. And I think it took a while for our team to kind of find the niche between a talented freshman class and a senior class that had really came through for us in the past.
Once all the players grew comfortable in their positions on the squad and the team dynamics were settled, Carolina locked in and suddenly had the makings of a national championship contender. Coach Kalbas credits the late season surge to the spike in play at the bottom of the singles lineup from senior warriors like Tessa Leones.
And then at the end of the year, you know, when it came down to it, the NCAAs, when it really mattered, the depth was really a strength of ours, winning at 5-6 against UCLA. And then, every point down against in matches in the NCAA Final 16 quarters, semis, we won some big matches at the bottom of the lineup.
Carolina's freshman sensation, Jamie Loeb, who was named the ITA's top singles player of the year Wednesday, finished with a dominant 53-4 record this season. But what's even scarier for future Loeb opponents is that Coach Kalbas believes there are areas of her game that can still improve.
But I think there's still a lot of motivation. She's the kind of player and person that always wants to get better, and there's a lot of areas in her game to get better. And as a coaching staff, you know, in a program, you know, we feel we can do a lot of those things to make her more of a complete player. And then, you know, that's what's really special about her, is that she really has room to improve and has the desire and the work ethic to do that.
A strong incoming recruiting class, ranked number 6 by TennisRecruiting.net, should only further enhance Carolina's depth. Coach Kalbas says the program is on the upward swing.
To me, when you bring in those kind of players with those kind of aspirations, you have a really strong quality work ethic and attitude and professionalism like Jamie and Haley have given to our program this year. So we're really excited. So it's really exciting that, you know, what's happening with our program right now.
Next up for the Tar Heels is a summer of rehabilitation, regrouping, and competition. Whitney Kay and Caroline Price are nursing some nagging injuries, while Loeb is aiming to improve her ranking on the professional circuit. But when the Tar Heels reconvene in the fall, Coach Kalbas and the rest of the team will be primed to take it one step further in 2015 by hoisting up a national championship trophy.
They can get back to, you know, physically, you know, 100%, where we can kind of really build towards a strong year next year.
Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
Carolina women's basketball fans will be very happy to have Sylvia Hatchell back on the sidelines this upcoming season, although Coach Andrew Calder did a great job filling in. Naismith Hall of Famer Sylvia Hatchell of Carolina and Vivian Stringer of Rutgers will meet December 4th in the ACC Big Ten Women's Basketball Challenge. What a great headliner. Hatchell missed all of last season while battling leukemia. She leads all active coaches in the nation with 935 career wins. Stringer is right behind with 929 in second place. Rutgers joins the Big Ten this summer with Maryland, which leaves the Atlantic Coast Conference and plays Notre Dame, including incoming ACC member Louisville will host Iowa. Other matchups are Duke at Nebraska, Indiana at Boston College, Minnesota at North Carolina State, Florida State at Purdue, Wake Forest at Michigan, Virginia at Illinois, Pittsburgh at Ohio State, Penn State at Syracuse, Northwestern at Virginia Tech, Wisconsin at Miami, and Georgia Tech will be at Michigan State. The ACC is well ahead in this event so far. They've only done it one year. There are 6-0-1 in the event. Not sure what that one is. Carolina Panthers signed first-round draft pick Kelvin Benjamin and third-round selection Trey Turner yesterday. Terms of the deals were not disclosed, as is usually the case. All 6 of the team's draft picks this year are now under contract. Tar Heel football fans are familiar with Benjamin, an outstanding wide receiver. Benjamin was the 28th overall pick. He had 84 receptions for 1,506 yards and 19 touchdowns in a couple of seasons with Florida State, including the winning 2-yard touchdown catch in the Seminoles' BCS National Championship win over Auburn. Carolina Panthers folks are hoping that Benjamin is able to replace Steve Smith in some ways. Turner, the 92nd pick in the NFL draft, started 20 games and played in 25 during 2 seasons at LSU. As a sophomore, Turner was the second-team All-Southeastern Conference selection, starting 13 games and leading the conference with 21 blocks, resulting in touchdowns. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Think me nuts, but I like the Spurs, and pretty quickly. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. I heard a debate over sports radio the other night, whether the Miami Heat winning a 3rd straight NBA championship would be a better story and better for basketball than the San Antonio Spurs avenging last season's heartbreaking loss in the NBA Finals. You know, LeBron James wins 3 in a row and on his way to 4. Well, we'll find out beginning tonight in a rematch that I don't think will be that close. Sure, LeBron is the best player on the planet, which many people believe makes the Heat the best team as well. But the grizzled Spurs, 4-time NBA champs over the last 15 years, with the best power forward to ever play the game, have the right formula to beat the Heat. As quiet man Tim Duncan atypically said this week, "We're glad it's them again. We'll get them this time." Yes, the Spurs are a year older, and they are a bit banged up with Tony Parker's gimpy ankle. But Greg Popovich, the Bill Belichick of pro basketball, doesn't say it, but only knows he has the upper hand this time, with a deeper team than Miami, a huge revenge motive, and the home court advantage of playing the first 2 and last 2 of the 7-game series in River City. 9 Spurs on average play at least 10 minutes a game, and they have the inside-outside combination between Duncan, Matt Bonner, and Boris Diaw underneath, and Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Carolina's Danny Green on the outside, plus young swingman Kawhi Leonard. Everybody knows the Heat's big three, but San Antonio has more charisma than the quiet Duncan, the former Wake Forest star. All they did this season was go 62-20 in the much tougher Western Conference and then beat the Thunder in the playoffs. It's not wise to bet against LeBron, but my gut tells me this series is set up perfectly for San Antonio. The Spurs proved last year that they didn't need the home court advantage, somehow losing the Game 6 capper with only seconds to play while the NBA championship podium was being set up. When Miami's Ray Allen buried a three-pointer that tied the game, which the Heat won in overtime, you knew the Spurs had lost their chance. For a veteran team that just wins, baby, that will provide positive momentum instead of negative karma. I say they win the first two at home, and just to make a point, two of the next three in Miami, to reign as NBA champs in 2014. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this. Member FDIC.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Wine and Design of Chapel Hill, Durham. It's half off, $35 for evening painting class vouchers available today for $17. Wine and Design, located at Carmel Mall in Carrboro, provides everything you need for a fun night out. All you need to bring is a beverage of choice and your creativity. You follow along with a local artist who will teach you how to paint your chosen art piece. At the end of the night, you go home with your handmade masterpiece and lots of great memories to share. So gather your friends, buy today's deal, and get your art buzz on. Buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Good morning. It is 8:30 at WCHL, and your Chapel Hill Carboro weather looks like this. First of all, it's warm already, 74 degrees. Partly sunny with a 50-50 chance of rain in the afternoon. Maybe showers, more likely showers, but also a thunderstorm is possible. Our high today, about 88. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain. Overnight low, about 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the low 80s. Going to lead into a warm weekend. Our high about 85 on both Saturday and Sunday.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. A welcome home celebration set for later this month in Bo Bergdahl's hometown of Haley, Idaho is canceled. Lots of nasty emails and phone calls came in. Some people say Bergdahl deserted his post in Afghanistan. Correspondent Begad Shaban.
Organizers say they were concerned about potentially large crowds. As many as 10,000 people made up of supporters and protesters. It very well could have been the biggest event Haley had ever seen.
Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says the retrieval of the captured soldier had to be made sooner than later, telling the BBC.
It was our judgment, based on the information that we had, that his life, his health, were in peril.
Criticism on Capitol Hill now, though, from lawmakers who say they were not kept in the loop.
There's a lot of classified information in how we got him out, when we got him out, methods used.
And now?
We're sharing these things, by the way, in classified forums with appropriate committees.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 75 degrees in Chapel Hill, warming up to a high today of about 88. Don't be surprised if we hit 90. I'm Ron Stutz. Chapel Hill Town Council members say a 1 cent property tax rate hike is needed next year to help the town add to its debt capacity and to build big projects sooner. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on the story.
Chapel Hill faces more than $158 million worth of unfunded capital needs, yet the town can't borrow money until 2017. With that in mind, town council members last night informally agreed it's time to replenish the town's debt management fund by raising the property tax rate 1 cent next year. Councilmember Matchakovsky said it will help pay for amenities like parks, greenways, and bike paths that town residents want sooner rather than later.
Those elements, to me, are very significant quality of life considerations, what makes people feel good about where they live. For them to be deferred many years into the future, I think, makes them more of a dream than a reality.
A penny on the tax rate generates about $755,000 in revenue for the town. Business Management Director Ken Penoyer told the council each penny's worth put into the debt fund translates into approximately $10 million in additional debt capacity. Other big-ticket items on the capital projects list include a new police station, new fire stations, a waste transfer station, and park improvements. The council also wrestled with the question of how to raise money to support affordable housing. Ultimately, council members settled on a plan that falls just short of the $755,000 funding goal, but doesn't add to the tax rate. The council agreed to delay a solid waste transportation pilot project and spend $355,000 worth of development fees from the Ephesus-Fordham area, in addition to the $188,000 already in next year's budget. This will be the second property tax rate increase in 2 years for Chapel Hill residents. Last year, the council approved a 2-cent increase that was split between Chapel Hill Transit, solid waste fees, and the newly expanded library. The council will formally vote to adopt the budget on Monday. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Also at last night's work session, town council members sounded off about Tuesday night's vote by the Orange County Commissioners to fund rural curbside recycling out of reserve funds while asking the towns to levy a $59 per household fee for the same service. Mayor Mark Kleinsmith said the move jeopardizes future collaboration with the county on solid waste and recycling.
You know, we made a decision 2 or 3 months ago that we were all in it together. Well, I think we did that with the hope that by this point, we were actually going to be in lockstep, that we were going to have a plan, countywide plan, that's going to move forward, but we don't.
Council members argued the majority of the money in the Solid Waste Reserve Fund was actually contributed by the towns, making it especially unfair to subsidize recycling pickup for residents of the county while charging urban households. They say they're not going to agree to levy the town recycling fee in light of Tuesday night's vote by the commissioners. Instead, the council is asking the Orange County officials to consider funding both rural and urban recycling pickup for next year out of the Solid Waste Reserve Fund. While this would drop the county's $3 million contingency fund down to $1 million, Chapel Hill Town Manager Roger Stansel told the council that's not their problem.
At this point, it's totally the county's issue. So they would have to find a way to pay for that liability.
There's a lot more to this story. You can go to our website, chapelbro.com, to get all the details. In a rare move, the Orange County Commissioners will reopen the issue at tonight's work session and likely vote on a new funding plan. Now, county commissioners will be taking up a lot of interesting topics tonight. They'll take up budget discussions for the first time since hearing from the public just last week. Hundreds of parents, teachers, and students came out last Thursday to ask the board to fully fund the budget requests of both the school systems. The current budget includes an additional $2.9 million split between Orange County and Chapel Hill Carborough City school systems, but that falls way short of $6.8 to $7.3 million school administrators say is needed to balance both those budgets. The work session will get underway tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. At the same time, there will be a school board meeting going on for the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. A long-term study of the Mandarin Chinese dual language program is once again expected to pack tonight's school board meeting at council chambers in Chapel Hill, with families invested in the program being there to talk. Before that conversation can begin, the board will discuss scheduled repairs for the district's 10 oldest schools, budget amendments, and an update of the Colbert Middle School science wing, among other topics. Anytime potential changes to the Mandarin Chinese program have been brought up in the district, supporters have filled the board meeting to capacity and expressed their strong opinions to keep that program going. The board will discuss whether a long-term study is necessary to determine if this dual language program is benefiting the district and its students properly. Another long-term study. The Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board of Education meeting begins at 7 o'clock tonight. It will actually happen at Chapel Hill High School tonight after a closed session to discuss student transfer requests. And if you're wondering about the Mandarin Chinese program discussion, That should start at about 8:45, but that is an approximate time. Governor Pat McCrory, the Orange County Commissioners, and the City of Mebane will break ground today on the 120,000-square-foot Morinaga America Foods facility in Mebane. That'll take place starting at 9:30 this morning, less than an hour from now. Morinaga owns candy and confectionery production facilities all over Japan, China, and Taiwan, with sales offices around the world. It's considered to be Asia's answer to Hershey's, Mars, or Nestle. This is a big deal. This establishment represents Morinaga's first production facility anywhere outside of Asia. The ceremony is set to start at 9:30 at the site on Wilson Road in Mebane. Speakers today include Governor Pat McCrory, Chairman Gotō Morinaga, President of Morinaga America Foods, Inc., Toshiaki Fukunaga, Board of County Commissioners Chair Barry Jacobs, City of Mebane Mayor Glendale Stevenson, and Consul General of Japan in Atlanta, Kazuo Sanaga. Orange County Director of Public Affairs Carla Banks elaborates on why Mebane was chosen as the location for Morinaga.
When they decided they were going to embark on setting up a facility in the United States, they did visit other communities. They ultimately ended up selecting Orange County because of the quality of life.
Banks also speaks on the overall impact that the Morinaga facility will have for Mebane and Orange County as a whole, in addition to all the tax dollars that it will bring in.
From an employment standpoint, the startup of their American facility in Mebane will bring 90 jobs over the next 3 years. I think the framework of Mebane is going to start changing as we're bringing in infrastructure for water and sewer and pretty much paving the foundation for future economic development projects.
8:39 at WCHL, it's Ron Stutz, and we have Zach Godwin in here from chapelbro.com sitting at the Twitter desk right now. And Zach, you have just handed me this ballot, really, to pick out, to use $15 to pick a Carolina basketball team. And, you know, at first I was just going through picking who I would pick from each position, and all the and they cost a certain amount, each one. But I realized that I wasn't doing it the right way because my would end up costing about 10 times the amount that...
Yeah, you're going to have to pay a luxury tax to field that team.
But explain what this is all about, because this is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, these have been going around the internet for the past few weeks. I just did one the other day that was like an all-time NBA team where you have $15 to pick one player from each position, and they each have a dollar value, and you can't go over the $15 budget. So, you know, it'd be nice to pick all the best players, but then you'd go over budget. So finally they've gotten to, of course, the most important one. They've done a Carolina all-time team. So Ron, I've given you your ballot, and I filled one out myself. I'm kind of new to the Tar Heel community, so you might still beat me with your years of expertise. But I thought we could compare our teams and then see who, you know, have the folks on Twitter send in who they think would win if your team and my team played one-on-one. Hopefully they're not the same.
Okay.
Because your coaching would win out.
I don't know about that. Well, I see under point guards, Phil Ford cost $5.
Right.
All right. Ty Lawson, $4. Kenny Smith, $3. Raymond Felton, $2. And Kendall Marshall, $1. When I first looked at this, I said, oh, I'm going with Phil Ford. No question.
Right.
You know, and I'm still going with Phil Ford. Because he's the greatest point guard to ever play the game at Carolina, and this guy can really get it done. So I'm going with Phil Ford for $5. That's a third of my budget.
Okay.
All right. Shooting guards, Michael Jordan is $5. Charlie Scott is $4. Donald Williams is $3. Wayne Ellington, $2. And Hubert Davis, $1. I was going to go with Charlie Scott based on what he did at Carolina.
Right.
Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever to play the game, but Charlie Scott was better when he was at Carolina, and I was going to go with him, but he cost too much. So I'm going to surprise you a little bit here and go with Hubert Davis, because Hubert is budgeted at only $1, but Hubert can really hit the three, and Phil Ford could set him up in just the right places, put the ball in his hands at the right time. So I say Phil Ford and Hubert Davis in my backcourt.
All right.
All right? So that's a total of $6.
Okay.
Small forwards... I was going to go with Al Wood to begin with. Larry Miller is $5, Michael Corrin $4, Al Wood $3, Jerry Stackhouse $2, Pete Brennan $1. I was going to go with Al Wood, but I decided to go with Jerry Stackhouse at $2 based on what else I'm picking for the front court. You know, because
so you're going with a big lineup.
Stauskas kind of a tough guy. Not really all that big, but he was a tough rebounder and a fierce competitor. Right. Power forwards, I'm going to go with James Worthy.
Can't go wrong.
Lenny Rosenbluth's 5, James Worthy 5, Antoine Jameson 3, Billy Cunningham 2, and Rasheed Wallace 1. I'm going to go with James Worthy there. James Worthy was great.
Yes.
Centers, Tyler Hansbrough 5, Sam Perkins 4, Mitch Kupchak 3, Brad Daugherty 2, and Bob McAdoo 1. Based on all my other picks, I'm going to, in order to fit within the budget, I'm going to have to go with Brad Daugherty here. Because Brad was an excellent rebounder, not really a flashy player, mm-hmm. but he could get it done. And based on the abilities of the other guys in my starting lineup here, I'm going to say that Brad Daugherty would be my pick there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll run through my team real quick.
Right.
For my point guard, I went with Raymond Felton,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because he's somebody who was during my lifetime, so I know him pretty well.
Yeah.
Shooting guards, I got suckered into Michael Jordan. I know he did better in the pros, but maybe he'll bring some of that experience.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have that experience, though. When this is based on
college. I forgot about the time machine element.
Yeah.
I went with Jerry Stackhouse. Like you said, he's a tough little guy.
Yeah. Not that little, but, you know,
well,
smaller than some of the other guys.
For power forward, I went with Billy Cunningham. And honestly, that was a budget move.
Not a bad pick.
I'm not actually familiar with Billy Cunningham. That's part of my lack of expertise.
He was the kangaroo kid, man.
Oh, wow.
He was really very good. Not that big, but good rebounder, excellent scorer, real old school player.
Yeah. And then for center, I went with Sam Perkins.
Yeah.
Saved up a little bit for him.
Well, yeah, I love Sam Perkins. He's a great guy. He was a great player and a great guy, too.
So run through your starting five again real quick.
Phil Ford, Hubert Davis, Jerry Stackhouse, James Worthy, and Brad Daugherty.
And I got Raymond Felton, Michael Jordan, Jerry Stackhouse, Billy Cunningham, and Sam Perkins.
Yeah.
So I want the folks out there to tweet at us who you think is going to win between me, my team, Team Zach, or Team Ron.
All right. Let's do that. You're going to put that on, what, are you going to put that on Twitter?
I'll put it up Facebook? On our Twitter. I'll put it on Facebook, too, for folks to catch on there.
All right. Yeah. And explain all these rules, too. Cause
right. Yeah. I'll post the link to the chart of all the players.
Yeah.
And explain it out for everybody.
That's really cool. I think we'll get a lot of response on this because, you know, a lot of Carolina basketball fans out there. If
Absolutely.
I had more time to think about it, I mean, you just handed it to me like 10 minutes ago, and I've had to do a newscast, so I didn't really have a lot of time to think about it.
All right, Ron's making excuses already.
No excuses. I'm just saying that it may end up being a little bit different if I had more time to think about it, but based on, you know, going with my gut just off the top of my head here, those are the picks I would make.
This is schoolyard ball. We're captains picking.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all based on that budgetary line.
Right.
My starting five would be totally different if, well, not totally different, but it would be really different if I didn't
have extra dollars,
limitations on the bucks. Really interesting.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get in touch with us, how do they do that?
It's just at Chapelboro or at WCHL.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ron.
It's been fun. It's 8:45 at WCHL.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
At the UPS Store, we love printing. Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, banners, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need. We do it all from start to finish. And now we have 3 convenient options to make the process even easier for you. Submit your print job by email or by visiting our new online print website at upsstoreprint.com, and we'll quickly have it ready for you to pick up. Or simply bring your materials to one of our local stores on Forna Boulevard, in Meadowmont, and in Chapel Hill North.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Get ready for a moonshine tasting at the Carolina Inn. Join us Saturday, June 14th from 5 to 7 p.m. to sample a variety of North Carolina-made moonshine while enjoying culinary delights. Meet our featured guest moonshiner, Wayne Nix, cast member of Moonshiners, featured on the Discovery Channel. One of Wayne's personal stills will be on display for you to view. Visit CarolinaInn.com for more information. And come get your moonshine on!
Take the family to Dickie's for a family night or pick up a family pack on your way home because you just don't want to cook. Order online at Dickie's.com and we will have it ready for you to take out. With 8 juicy hickory smoked meats, including pulled pork, chicken, ribs, brisket, and more. Add fresh home-style sides and hush puppies and you will have a special night that is tasty and affordable. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
This is Phil Ford of the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Hey, Phil.
And you're listening to WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz. Good morning, Ron.
Phil, you're my point guard, buddy. It is 8:49 at WCHL, running a little behind schedule this morning because you get us started talking about Carolina basketball, and it gets really interesting and wordy. Time now for today's opinion piece on WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I have so much admiration for our friends and neighbors who are participating in the Moral Monday gatherings in Raleigh. Many of our local religious leaders and elected officials have been in attendance, and the cause has gotten attention all over our state, the country, and the rest of the planet. But I want to do something to show solidarity and encourage our neighbors. Do you feel the same way? That you like what Moral Monday stands for, but don't necessarily want to go to Raleigh? I'd like to encourage you to go and support your friends. But if you don't, there's lots of ways to help push this movement forward. Check to see if your local elected representatives support Moral Monday and what it represents. If they do, let them know in a short call or email. If not, ask them why not and that you would prefer that they do. Politicians really pay attention when a constituent contacts them. You could also contact any of the organizations that are a part of the movement and let them know that you agree. You might even want to throw them a little donation to help keep them going. Even tiny amounts like $5 can help. Neighbors, the bottom line is we can all do something if we want Moral Mondays to succeed. If you're on social media, spread some good stories about the cause. Tell your neighbors on the street how you feel. You could even send a pizza to the gathering just to help keep them going. Be creative. It's worth it. This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Spring is here, and you know what that means. Summer is right around the corner. You definitely want to look and feel your best, so Jersey Mike's Subs invites you to eat healthy with our 99% fat-free turkey. A delicious low-fat choice that's loaded with lean protein and great flavor, piled high with fresh onions, lettuce, and tomatoes, and served on our store-baked white or wheat bread. Eating one is a fantastic way to feel good about yourself. Order online at jerseymikesubs.com or call us at 919-918-SUBS.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and waves in comfort and style. Come see us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
All day and all night. This is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
8:53 at WCHL, and if you remember Wayne Pond's word of the day, let me know about it. What is the word? What is the correct spelling? And what does it mean? I'm not even sure I'm very clear on the meaning, but at any rate, call right now. Wayne Pond delivered this word and all the other information about an hour ago. If you remember what he said, call right now, 919-929-WCHL. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers, and it's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? We do it every morning, Wayne's Word on WCHL, on the morning news, and your number one more time to call, 919-929-WCHL.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this. Member
FDIC.
And
now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
Hi, my name is Stephen Lair, and I'm the franchise owner for Home Instead Senior Care in Chapel Hill. Home Instead Senior Care provides non-medical in-home care for seniors, companionship, meal preparation, medication reminders, on up through personal care and bathing assistance for seniors all throughout Orange and North Chatham County. Well, what I want to talk about today is what I call the white elephant. A lot of the clients we serve have lost their spouses, and we see a huge trend among families and caregivers that we call the white elephant. If you've ever been around someone who's lost a loved one, you've undoubtedly seen the situation played out. Immediately following the loss, everybody offers their heartfelt condolences. A few brave souls may actually offer to reminisce with you about the person you lost, but once the appropriate grieving period has passed, no one mentions their name again. Maybe they're afraid of upsetting their loved one. Maybe they're actually afraid of upsetting themselves. But in both instances, the memory of the departed kind of falls into this conversational abyss that no one dares to broach. And in my mind, the only thing greater than the tragedy of losing the person you love is losing them twice. Imagine if you could never say your wife's name again. For many caregivers and families, avoiding sensitive topics seems like the compassionate thing to do, but in doing it, you actually deny the person you care about not just the joy of reminiscing, but in some cases, you actually deny them an important part of the grieving process. What we do is we encourage our caregivers not to be afraid of the white elephant. Engage the seniors in their life on things that are most important to them. Ask them about their favorite memories. If you close the door on an entire chapter of their life and refuse to talk about it, you'll never really get to know them as a person. Ask them about their wedding day. Ask them about dancing under the stars at the officers club. Ask them about the hard times, about their biggest mistakes. Ask them about the thing that they love the most. Along the way, you'll hear an unbelievable story, and it's a story that they desperately want to tell you. Well, for more information on this and everything that we do, you can go to homeinstead.com, or you can call us up at 919-933-3300.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
I want to congratulate Bob Crane. The word of the day today is Serenian, Serenian. It's all about aquatic animals, according to Wayne Pond. That's the word of the day. Bob Crane gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you very much for listening. Bob, always good to hear from you. 8:57 at WCHL.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
When you turn 60, you still felt pretty good. At 70, you started slowing down a bit. But now, you just can't argue with it anymore. So you have a choice to make. Will you spend your days drinking those shakes your daughter keeps buying? Or will you get out and live? Home Instead Senior Care has been giving seniors the tools they need to really live their lives for over a decade. Sometimes you just need an extra set of hands. There's a difference between living and really living. And that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
Chapel Hill Carborough Meals on Wheels wishes to thank all the sponsors of Dining for Dollars, a fundraiser that will be held June 5th at Hickory Tavern in Carborough. We especially appreciate the support of Performance Subaru, Hickory Tavern, Silverback Asset Management, and Food Logic. You can learn more about this event by visiting chcmow.org or calling 919-942-2948. And, as usual, many thanks to WCHL for caring about our community.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Refinements Resale Boutique. It's 50% off, $20 worth of merchandise available now for $10. Refinements Resale Boutique for Women is the place to shop brand name clothing at a fraction of retail price. In their new location just 1 mile north of South Point Mall in Sutton Station off Fayetteville Road, pure shopping bliss in a relaxed, organized, and soothing atmosphere is what Refinements is all about. And it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit DurhamTech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
75 degrees in Chapel Hill. Already kind of warm this morning. It's more like summer today than it is springtime. This forecast brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Partly sunny, 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. Later on today, probably late in the afternoon. Our high today about 88 or 89 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain. And the overnight low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the low 80s. That'll lead us into Saturday. Sunny with a high middle 80s. Same thing goes for Sunday. So, warm weather for several days here. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves the best-tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News. I'm Jeff Gilbert at GM's Vehicle Engineering Center in Warren, Michigan, where, among other things, the company's engineers make decisions about recalls. At this hour, GM CEO Mary Barra is starting a town hall meeting explaining how the wrong decisions were made about an important ignition switch recall. Barra will detail changes. AutoTrader.com analyst Michelle Krebs says the most important changes need to be to GM's culture.
GM has to create a culture where employees feel comfortable raising problems and bad news just as much as good news.